a selfish request. After the day is
Thursday.
Given. Yeah, now it is. I have a very selfish request. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. I'm curious as to what the opening theme would sound like if it was sung by one Owen Wilson. Could you please find it in your heart?
Don't make me do this. Why do I ever say no to you? I can never say
no. That's, again, for people just tuning in and quickly tuning out, that's Owen Wilson singing our opening theme song. I thought that was beautiful.
I can't get that high.
Wow. All right. Hi, everybody.
Listen how high her voice is.
It's very high, Owen. Do that part.
I did.
Oh, you did already.
That was me.
I'm Bill. That's Wendy, playing the role of Owen Wilson. Welcome to the bonus hour. It's the stream of consciousness. It's fun. It's just fun is all it is. All right. So on the regular show, we had Dean Richards on, and we were talking about this new movie that stars Melissa McCarthy. And we all said, well, Dean started it, and we all agreed, Melissa McCarthy at this point in her career is known for her comedy work, right?
Yeah, totally.
But this movie is
except
a drama.
Except for the last movie.
Well, that was intended to be a comedy. It just didn't pan out, I guess. I didn't see it, so I can't see it.
I didn't either, but I just saw the trailer, and that's all I needed to know I didn't want to see it.
That was the Naughty Muppet movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so now she's in a drama, and everyone's going, well, now we can see if Melissa McCarthy can act. And she's actually been in a couple of movies that have been a combination of comedy and drama. I can't remember the name of the movie she was in with Bill Murray a couple of years ago that was really, really good. That was a nice blend of comedy and drama. But I said to Dean, who else comes to mind who has done this sort of thing where they're basically comedy actors and at some point they go, let me try my hand at drama. And the first two I thought of right away, I thought of Tom Hanks immediately.
Yeah.
Right? And then who was the other example? Was it Bill Murray that I gave? I think it was.
Yes, but then you thought of another one off
well,
the air.
I should have said Steve Martin because Steve Martin has been in a couple of dramas where he's like... When you think about the early days of Steve Martin, the arrow through the head Steve Martin, you'd say to yourself, well, he's not going to be able to pull off movies like, I know this is obscure, but The Spanish Prisoner. Did you ever see that?
No.
It's a David Mamet movie that he was in. He's been in some really good dramas, so he has proved himself as a dramatic actor. Who comes to mind for you? Is there anyone that you can think of?
Kevin Hart.
I'm going home.
Kevin Hart's a good example. This is somebody who was known for his comedies, but boy, is he a great dramatic actor.
Just Jim Carrey kind of came to mind.
Jim Carrey's a great answer.
But Dean already mentioned that.
But that's a great... All right, so the first few times, I can't speak for everybody.
Robin Williams, too.
Oh, Robin Williams is way at the top of that list.
I liked the serious Robin Williams way better than the comedic one.
Yeah. There's a couple movies... The first one I want to go to would be probably Good Will Hunting.
Yep.
He's so good in that.
He really
he's
is fantastic.
So good in that. Good Morning Vietnam is kind of a mix of comedy
I
and drama.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh, you'd love
I
it.
I have to see that.
It's really spectacular. There's a movie he did with Robert De Niro years ago called Awakenings.
Oh, I love that. Was a really,
really
good
strong
movie.
In that. He's a doctor in that. He's really good.
What about serious actors that go comedic? Because could you put Robert De Niro in that, Mark?
Boy, that's
in that
a
category?
Good question. Yes. Yeah, I think that, boy, yeah, if you're going to turn the tables, then Robert De Niro, whose first several movies were dramas, and then said, let me try, let me see what I can do with comedy, and he's been very good at it. Meet the Parents, he's very, very funny in, right?
Has Ben Stiller switched to serious role?
Ben Stiller has done both. Yeah, Ben Stiller has done both. I was thinking like in the early days.
Errol Flynn?
Yes. I was thinking about Errol Flynn, who could be so funny when he wanted to be, but boy, he could tug at your heart if he needed to. Two of my all-time favorite actors are Jack Lemmon and Jimmy Stewart, and those are guys that bounced back and forth. Like, there was no rhyme or reason. They would do a drama, really deep, gritty drama.
Yeah.
And then the next year, they were hysterically funny, and then back to drama. It was just effortless for both of those guys, for Jack Lemmon and Jimmy Stewart. I couldn't even, if you pressed me and said, is he a better dramatic actor or a better comedic actor for either of them? I wouldn't be able to answer that.
That would be tough.
I could do either one.
I like Jack Lemmon.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find some of the... a bunch of people texted in at the time. Robin Williams, by the way, who you mentioned, was getting the most nods on that. If you were checking the text line at the time, he was the one who was, everybody was going, well, if you're making an argument for any actor who was comedic doing drama, you got to mention Robin Williams. And yeah, there's no doubt about it. He was so good at it when it called for that. I have, for some reason, I can't access any of the texts from more than a half hour ago, so I can't find them. But I'm trying to think of who else we're leaving off. There's got to be one or two other names.
I can't even think of anyone. Steve Carell?
Steve Carell was mentioned. Several people texted Steve Carell.
Bryan Cranston?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about Bryan Cranston.
Hal from Malcolm in the Middle and on a bunch of Seinfelds, and then such a great, serious actor.
I think if you had seen, like, I can't speak for you, but we used to watch Malcolm in the Middle every week.
We did,
my
too.
My kids were of the exact right age for Malcolm in the Middle. So if you had seen him on Malcolm in the Middle as Hal, you would never in a million years say, this will translate to Breaking Bad.
No
That's
way.
Not going to be the right guy to play Breaking Bad. And yet, who
he
else
was henpecked by Lois, pretty much.
Yeah.
He was... there's no way I would have ever seen that coming.
Do you remember the scenes? I don't know if this happened frequently, but I do remember at least on one or two episodes where he was there without his shirt on and Lois had to shave his front and back mm-hmm. for him. I just thought that was so funny. I don't know why that appealed to me so much, but just the audacity of him saying to her, hey, it's that time of month, you got to shave me.
Right.
And her, I think it was in the kitchen. She just had, just shaving his neck and his back and his chest. That was very funny.
And we were just talking about Malcolm in the Middle off the air because return to television this past week. Do I say where?
Yeah, I think you
this
can.
Is us.
Yeah.
It was nice to see her.
A key couple of scenes on this past week's episode of This Is Us featured the woman who played Lois. Her name is escaping
Jane
me.
Jane Kaczmarek?
Jane Kaczmarek, yeah.
I love her.
Well, I thought that after that show ended, we would see a lot more of her.
I did too.
And I don't remember seeing her in anything since then. I'm sure she has worked. I just don't remember seeing her in anything. Oh, speaking of TV, I have to tell you this. Last night, and this was long overdue... I finally watched two episodes of Norm MacDonald's talk show that he has on Netflix.
I've forgotten about that.
He's got a show called Norm MacDonald Has a Talk Show. And
neener, neener, neener.
There's not many episodes. There's only 8 or 10 episodes because on Netflix, that's a season. If you pull off that many, you're fine. You get the season. So I watched the episode. Each episode is 30 to 35 minutes. I watched the one with David Spade, which was his first episode, and I watched the one with David Letterman. You know me.
Is he only doing David's?
He will only talk to people named David. And that's...
David Arquette is lined up next.
He's lined up. Yeah, he's coming on.
David Cross.
Yeah. The band David will be on.
David and David.
Was it David and David?
Yeah,
or David
Welcome
David?
To the Boomtown.
Yeah, that's them. That's them. That's them. That's the house band. So,
how was he?
It was really entertaining, but it's the most raw talk show I've ever seen in that there's no specific opening to the show. It just kind of starts with them just kind of meandering through the hallways of the studio that they film it in, talking about what they'll discuss on the show. And then that just is the show. Like, that's how it starts, with them mid-conversation.
I kind of like that.
It was really...
unique.
If you're used to seeing a certain... way of doing a talk show, it's got that, but it takes it from like a side angle that you're not used to. And then they take breaks. Norm keeps saying, well, we got to take a break, like a story, and he'll go, we got to take a break and we'll come back. And then they don't cut away. They just talk during the break.
Oh, I like that.
Like David Spade didn't understand. He goes, I don't understand it. I just told that story during the break and that's not going to be on the show. And they go, no, we're not going to use that because we were in break. And he's mad. He goes, well, I'm not going to tell the story again. So... yeah,
I
all
like
that's
that
part of
kind
it.
Of. That's it's weird and quirky,
yeah.
Which is what Norm, and I love Norm.
I do too. Despite he's had some problems recently.
He's been acting like a doofus,
right? And he admits it.
Oh, he does.
Like, yeah, he did an I'm Sorry tour. He was on with the women from The View.
Oh,
and he said,
And
it was great because the women on The View kept trying to publicize the show, and he wouldn't have it. He goes, no, it's I'm not here to publicize it. I'm here to apologize. And he was being very sincere about it. But if you're a fan of his, and you and I are, so you can't
I
miss,
love him.
It's a very strange show. Like on every episode, the writers write jokes that Norm and his sidekick and whoever his guests are read, and some of them are very funny and some of them are awful. And much like the old days of Johnny Carson, when Johnny wasn't doing well during the monologue, that's when it's really funny, because they tear apart the joke and they go, "Why? Who would think this is funny? This isn't funny."
Who's his little side buddy?
It's a guy named Adam Egan, I think is his name. He used to work at the Comedy Store. He was the doorman, and Norm kind of took a liking to him. And in Norm's autobiography that I read last year, Adam is like his sidekick throughout. But he's treated very shabbily by all the guests. I don't know if that's on purpose or that just happened organically, but he'll start to ask a question, and both David Spade and David Letterman wouldn't address him.
You mean Norm MacDonald? Wait, I'm sorry. I'm confused.
Sidekick. Gets okay, no, just no, nothing in terms of respect whatsoever. And he's, you can tell he's pretty funny and on top of things. He's playing along, but whoever the guest is, I don't know if they've been told.
Oh, okay.
Don't really give him anything to work. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's very peculiar.
You got me in, though. I
everything about
watch
the show,
it.
Even at the end, I don't know if they do this every episode, but both times, Norm and his sidekick came out and sang a song called Farewell, which is so unlike him to sing a ridiculous song like that.
I have to see it now.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. It was interesting to watch.
Norm MacDonald. I even liked, is it David Koechner? I always get his first name mixed up. When he was Norm MacDonald's brother on SNL. Even that was just funny because it was a kind of a spinoff of Norm MacDonald. I love him.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too.
So I got to watch that. Thank you for the tip. What's
it
called?
It's on Netflix. It's called Norm MacDonald Has a Show. And each episode is just 30 to 35 minutes. They just have one guest. And, just the semantics of it being, even though it's a talk show, they've broken the wall where it starts out with them discussing what's coming up. And yeah, it takes some interesting twists and turns.
I will enjoy it.
And he's Norm MacDonald, so there's that. All right, we'll take a break. Kim Gordon is here. She'll give you the news. And then there's more discussion with us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder. We're on the stream of consciousness, the bonus hour, and Judy Pilak usually does our news. She is not here today, so filling in is Kim Gordon. Hi, Kim.
Hello.
Glad to have you. News time right now. Let's give her an official introduction.
All right,
shall
go
we
for
go?
It. Yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
You do it.
All right, here's the news with Kim.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Kim has alerted us to the fact that Kanye West, who spoke at the White House today, correct?
Mm-hmm. He was invited
in
for lunch.
Office. Yes.
Right? Yeah.
This meeting was being held in the Oval Office.
And this is his second sit-down with the president, right? Didn't he do this a few months ago?
I believe so. And then his wife, Kim Kardashian,
she was
also
there,
right?
Yeah.
Was the baby?
We only saw Conway.
Right. Right. So I don't know.
Did I just say Conway?
Who's Conway?
Kanye.
I mean, was
I'm
there?
Thinking about Conway Twitty. I don't know.
Only make
Kanye.
Believe.
And now it's not even, did the president address him as Kanye, or because now his name is just Ye? He's asked that
I
he
missed
be called
the
Ye.
Actual very beginning, so I don't know what the president called him.
But well, you got to hear some of the audio.
Yes, and it was very disturbing.
It's all over the place,
yeah,
right?
It's very disturbing. He was just going off on a tangent about a lot of different things, and you know, it's very apparent that he's mentally got something going on.
So
there.
That's the question is, I'm not a fan of his, and I don't want to make fun of him. I want to make fun of him in some ways, but
when
if something's
it,
wrong with him, I can't make fun of him.
Your heart will break. I mean, it's sad. It really is sad. It really was.
The Daily Mail.
Tough to listen to and watch.
I can't find anything that
Jasmine is searching
words in it.
Well, here's the Daily. Up. Yeah, Daily Mail is reporting Kanye calls himself a crazy mother. Shut your mouth.
I'm talking about Kanye.
In the Oval Office with Trump, the rapper will lunch with Trump, the president's son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner, and Ivanka, and is expected to be at a bill signing. Now, he's there talking about...
He was there. It was something for the music industry. I know Kid Rock was also there, some kind of bill.
And Jim Brown, NFL Hall of Famer.
He's there too, Jim Brown?
Yes, and Kanye was wearing a, you know, make a Make America Great Again.
Right, but I thought he wanted this meet. He requested this meeting because he wanted to talk about prison reform.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, right.
And getting somebody released from jail. I don't remember the name. I'm sorry to be so vague on all these details because I don't know everything yet. But yeah.
Want to know what's on the menu?
Yes.
White House called Kanye award-winning rapper, producer, and fashion designer, and published the lunch menu of a caprese salad and roast chicken.
I thought you were going to say Capri Sun. No. He would only show up if they had grape.
Sounds like a good
sun.
Lunch.
Sounds like a solid lunch.
Yeah.
The agenda includes record highs in African American employment, the creation of manufacturing jobs, and the massive violent crime surge in Chicago.
Yeah, none of that was. I didn't hear any of that in the Oval Office meeting. Maybe that's going to go on behind the scenes, but
did they?
It was a train wreck. What happened in the Oval Office? Yeah.
Did they discuss? Because Kanye has recently said that he'd like to abolish the amendment revolving slavery. Did that come up?
Here's what I have. He went on an extended rant in the Oval Office at the beginning of this working lunch with President Trump. He dropped the F-bomb, talked about his bipolar diagnosis, and pounded on the Resolute desk.
Oh.
Wes said that he has come to understand that, quote, bravery helps you beat this game called life. And that he misdiagnosed.
Yeah, that's
with
the part
a
I saw.
That he was misdiagnosed with a mental health disorder when he really was just sleep deprived.
Right.
Mm.
They tried to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends. But if this hat,
wait, he still brought up the hat.
Yeah,
this is the Make
America
him Great
power,
Again.
Well, and he
said.
Was wearing it too in the Oval Office.
It gives him power.
Oh, it does.
It's like his kryptonite. His Trumptonite.
No, kryptonite would hurt him.
Oh, what is it then? What gives you the power? I've got the power.
As far as I'm concerned, grapefruit juice. That's what gives me power.
He says, I'm married to a family that you know, not a lot of male energy going on, but it's beautiful, you know?
Wait, is that a shot on Bruce Jenner?
No, I think it's because he has two girls.
Well, the kids Kim Kardashian has so many sisters, I guess. That's how it. I would take it.
The rapper said that he loves Hillary Clinton.
Really?
But the slogan, I'm with her, didn't empower him to be the kind of man or father he felt his son deserved.
Hmm. What kind of reaction did it get when he said that he likes Hillary Clinton?
I don't have that information. This is just the Daily Mail.
It's a strange place to pull that out.
There was something about when I put this hat on, he said, that made him feel like Superman. No BS, he added, but he said it. Advising networks to slap on a 5-second delay. So he said, go ahead and put the delay on because I'm going to give you a plethora of words.
Oh.
When he was finished with the 10-minute speech, the president said, surprisingly, it was amazing and that he was impressed.
Yeah.
Mr. Superlative.
Yeah. Best speech ever.
But West wasn't finished. He took questions from reporters for another 10 minutes in which he expounded on Chicago's murder rate. Here's what Kanye said on that. Illegal guns are the problem, not legal guns. We have the right to bear arms, he said. We kill each other more than police officers, and that's not saying that the police officers are not an issue, he asserted.
Hmm.
He pushed for the abolishment of...
That's a little loose. I mean, for all the other things he said that I saw, and we didn't see that part... That's probably one of the most lucid comments I've heard.
Yeah.
West has pushed for the abolishment of the 13th Amendment, which formally abolished slavery.
Oh,
here's
so that
what
did
he said.
Come up.
He said, we don't have the reparations, but we have the 13th Amendment. We got to open up the whole conversation.
Okay. Well.
Addressing the condemnation he's received for supporting Trump, who his liberal friends say is a racist, Trump said, you think racism can control me? Oh, that doesn't stop me. That's an invisible wall.
Hmm.
To another,
who's going to pay for that invisible wall? Invisible Mexico.
To another reporter pressing Kanye for a direct answer, West said, I don't answer questions in simple sound bites. He told journalists, you're tasting a fine wine. It has multiple notes in it. I like that. That should be in a song.
Yeah,
I really like that.
That part's beautiful.
Trump said that the West gets it. Excuse me, that West gets it in remarks after he hates to see what's happening in West's hometown.
That's Chicago. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I guess. That didn't make sense to me.
But now, you know, there's rumors that he's looking to move here. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He did to also talk about taking his son to the White Sox game, and when he was talking about how he was misdiagnosed, that he wouldn't remember that because he would have had some form of dementia.
He doesn't remember going to the White Sox game?
Well, no, he's saying because he was misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
So he says he's not bipolar now?
He said he was sleep deprived. And that he wouldn't remember that whoever diagnosed him correctly said he would have like dementia and wouldn't be able to remember things like taking his son to a White Sox game or things like that.
Donald Trump called him a genius in the interview.
He did? He said
everybody
genius.
Calls Kanye a genius. Is Kanye a genius?
I mean, there are geniuses who are certifiably crazy.
Right.
You know, there are people like that, but this was really, it was hard to watch.
Well, I'm talking musically. I mean,
I'm sure that there are fans of his that would say that he is a genius. I don't know that I'm qualified to discuss.
Jasmine,
who
I'm just asking you if you're a fan of Kanye, because I mean, I think that there are musical geniuses in the rap genre that came before him and will come after him. I just want to know if he is a genius in the music biz, in your opinion, Jazz.
Yes, he is.
No, he's a genius.
All right, well, I'm not a fan of his.
Why would you qualify him as a genius?
He started making Afrobeats into a thing, and he's also used, I think Kanye is one of those guys that have taken older songs and used clips and versions of that and then put them into new songs, so these kids are like, oh, that came from this and that.
Didn't Vanilla Ice do that years before him?
I mean, yeah, but under he kind of made it into the hip-hop world as far as, you know, looking at that.
Vanilla Ice was a poser, too. I shouldn't have even brought him up, but I think Eminem is pretty talented.
Very talented.
He's crazy, too, though.
But I do like some Kanye songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't ask me to tell you their names, but when I hear them, I'm like, oh, I like
that's
that
one. That's a good song, yeah.
The ones with the beats, because I like those, too.
Do you remember he did an interview with TMZ a while ago where he was talking, you know, he loves to discuss slavery, and this time his version of slavery was that it was like a volunteer thing, like people signed up to be slaves. And then people ripped him and said, that's kind of not exactly how slavery went down, Kanye. So then he blamed the guy that used to be his manager, because he said, if that guy wouldn't have quit being my manager, he would have told me in advance to not say that about slavery. But I'm blaming him because he quit and he didn't tell me not to say that. That's something like a 4-year-old would come up with.
Do you think it was his mom that like kept him on track, and when she died, this
could
be something thing there. Just went?
And I think he obviously is not over the grieving for his mom, and she died in just...
Is it 6 or 7 years ago?
Oh, I think
in such
a while.
Sudden, tragic way that I just... I think that changed him.
But here's what scares... Well, a lot of it scares me, but the part that scares me is that he was copping to the fact that he had some issues, and now he's discounting that and saying, no, my problem is sleep deprivation. I don't have any other issues going on. It's all sleep deprivation. That's frightening, because the old way, maybe you go, he'll seek out help.
Right.
But now with sleep deprivation, they'll go, no, he just thinks he needs to nap more.
You know, and I don't understand why. I'm sure he is surrounded by, you know, quote unquote, people.
Sure.
And why they would put him in front of President of the United States, whatever you think about the president.
Right.
I mean, on that platform.
Right.
It's just, it's sad.
Right. I know.
I would like to know if anybody asked him, has he said anything about Pete Davidson's rant on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, good question.
I don't know.
Because after his appearance on Saturday Night Live, Kanye kind of deleted his social media accounts. So he was not being very active socially. Kenan Thompson, another one of SNL's longstanding comics, took issue with the politically charged diatribe that Kanye West put forth.
And I'm just saying an article here saying that a reporter asked Kanye if he was a future presidential candidate, and President Trump replied, could very well be, and Kanye said only after it would have to be 2024, meaning after President Trump was going
to
be reelected, and then he would come up.
And
he would run in 2024.
And take the mantle. From
when's Jim Brown going to run? Because if he's with them today, and Kid Rock,
those are all viable options. Wendy, every one of those would be fine presidents.
I have to admit that Kid Rock's All Summer Long song is like such song. A huge guilty pleasure of mine. That's all I'm saying.
But when you heard it, did you say, I love this song, I hope he becomes president someday? President Rock?
It's going to be, Hail to the Chief is going to be replaced.
Hail to the Rock. But the Rock may be our president, or is he vice president? No, he was going to run for
the Rock.
Kid Rock versus the Rock. Who would win? This country is great.
We're rocking.
One of them would have to get Chris Rock to be vice president.
That's right.
It only makes sense. And Joe Rockhead from the Flintstones.
Bill, he is not a real person.
What?
I don't think it matters anymore.
Half the people we just mentioned aren't real people.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think they are.
I really don't think it matters.
I liked, like, when we were kids, your presidential options were oftentimes senators or governors or something like that. Now all you have to do is have a hit record.
Be a reality star.
A reality TV star. That's all it takes now.
Yeah.
Everybody goes, yeah, they could probably be a pretty good president.
Have an orange face.
Right.
Does he drink orange Fanta?
He was looking extremely orange today in this video. Wow.
Yeah, there are times where there's an almost orangey glow to him.
Yes, and his eyes are just so white. I mean, obviously it's from a tanning bed because you can see where the little cover his eyes.
So is that confirmed?
What it looks like to me.
That's a color that's not normally a person.
Yeah. All right, but really.
Unless it's makeup.
There,
a lot
Oompa of the Loompas are that color.
And Real Housewives are that color.
Yeah, that same kind of orange.
So what do you think? It's like self-tanner?
I don't think about it. I just.
It could be self-tanner because you can't get that close to the eyes, so then your eyes would be white.
Right.
No, you can. I use self-tanner. You can do it.
You're probably not plastering it like.
But if you're in a tanning bed, there's some sort of an eye. You wear some sort of eye protectors,
it looks like almost
right?
like tiny goggles you wear in the pool
to
cover your eyes.
Yeah.
Jasmine found some audio. Is this from the White House meeting today?
Yeah, this is from the White House meeting.
All right, this is...
West meets best!
He was in the West Wing, Wendy.
Oh.
It starts off with him talking about his son, bringing his son to the White Sox game.
Oh.
So this is where it started from.
Oh, wait. Before you play it, did you already edit all the swear words out?
I'm getting this from YouTube, from Fox 10 in Phoenix, so hopefully...
At least you're on the stream.
All right.
You know, so if one slips.
Put your hands on the dump button.
All right.
Can't do it on the stream, so should we...
Just
start screaming,
if any word starts with a... Like if you hear... Stop it. All right. Here goes. Here's Kanye West from earlier today.
If you're black, you have to be Democrat. I've had conversations that basically said that welfare is the reason why a lot of black people end up being Democrat. They say, you know, first of all, it's a limit to amount of jobs. So the fathers lose the jobs and they say, we'll give you more money for having more kids in your home. And then we got rid of the mental health institutes in the 80s and the 90s, and the prison rates just shot up. And now you have Chirac, what people call Chirac, which is actually our murder rate is going down by 20% every year. I just talked to the superintendent, met with Michael Sachs, that's Ron's right-hand man. So I think it's the bravery that helps you beat this game called life. You know, they tried to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends. But this hat, it gives me power in a way. You know, my dad and my mom separated, so I didn't have a lot of male energy in my home. And also, I'm married to a family that, you know, not a lot of male energy going on. It's beautiful, though. But there's times where, you know, it's something about, you know, I love Hillary. I love everyone, right? But the campaign, I'm with her, just didn't make me feel as a guy that didn't get to see my dad all the time, like a guy that could play catch with his son. It was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman. You made a Superman. That's my favorite superhero. And you made a Superman cape for me, also as a guy that looks up to you, looks up to Ralph Lauren, looks up to American industry guys. Non-political, no bull. Put the beep on. You want to do it, 5 seconds delay, and just goes in
whatever.
And gets it done.
All right.
Right now.
This is pretty much everything I read. So
I want to, for a second, zero in on the hat. So if you don't know what the hat is, he wears a hat that says Make America Great Again. That, of course, Donald Trump's one of his catchphrases through the election. He maintains that on Saturday Night Live 2 weeks ago, they told him backstage, and he said this during his rant, they kept telling me, take the hat off, you can't wear the hat. So then Pete Davidson, when he did a rebuttal to it last week, said, I don't know what he's talking about. He wore that hat all week long. Nobody told him anything about the hat. Nobody said, you can't wear the hat, don't wear the hat. So sometimes I wonder if that's not being played up for dramatic purposes. Hey, I'm a rebel. This, look at the symbol that I'm wearing. They told me not to wear it, but I'm going to wear it because I don't care. That, if that didn't happen, it didn't happen. Why?
Well, it's very Trumpian to do that, to try to, you know, focus on something that's not really the issue.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that's his decision. I mean...
But why... I don't believe anybody told him not to wear that.
No, and I think he just... It was easy to say because it leaned so liberal at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's weird because half the time it's like, I don't know, do people give you more attention if you play the victim card, or do they give you more attention if you don't play the victim and you're a strong individual who's just sticking up like, I wanted to wear it. I didn't care what anybody
said. That's what he's doing. He's saying, look, I'm a rebel. All these people told me not to wear this hat on this stage, and look at me, I'm wearing the hat. But he made it up.
Yeah, I don't understand at all.
Nobody told them that.
But then they'll just say, you know, fake news. So they'll just try to say, you know, who are you going to believe? It's
right.
Like he said, she said.
Right, 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 right.
I don't believe anyone, and I don't. Oh. I've just stopped caring.
You don't care anymore?
No. When you get burnt out, you can't help it. I mean, and especially, you know, we have to listen to it, and we have to try to figure it out because that's our job.
Good luck figuring it out.
I know. But, you know, somebody who's in their car and who's not in the news business, or, you know, there's only so much you can take.
Right.
You just have to turn it off at some point.
Right. So during part of what we just heard, and you heard it already, Kim, so this is the second time you've heard it, he talks about Chicago.
I actually didn't hear that part.
Oh, you didn't hear that part?
No.
That we just played? All right.
That made some sense, I will admit.
I'm telling you, that was way more lucid than the part that I heard. Yes.
He's talking a little bit about our city. He referred to it as Chirac. I don't think he said something like it's referred to as Chirac or whatever.
Just when the movie was mentioned. I mean, the movie Chirac.
Yeah,
no one calls it that here, really.
Yeah. All right. So he said he's working with... Did he say he was working with Rahm during this clip?
Yeah, was Rahm's right-hand man.
Right, Rahm's right-hand man.
Yeah.
He said to make
I'm working
this,
with
the
this left-hand man.
But isn't it strange that Chance the Rapper, when talking about the same situation, is very anti-Rahm. Very anti-Rahm. You know? You would almost think it'd be the opposite, that it would be Kanye West saying, I don't like what Rahm Emanuel's doing for the city, and Chance the Rapper, who for the most part seems to be a pretty, you know, a guy with all arrows pointing up, but he's been very critical of the mayor, current mayor.
But now, Kanye did not say he was hanging out with the mayor.
He said his right-hand man, right? Whoever that, who, I don't know if he referred to him by name.
I said the superintendent.
He did say his name. I forgot who he said, but he did say his name.
All right. So the common goal that we all want here is to make the city safer.
Of course.
But it's just a strange thing to pull out at the White House during all this. But all of it was. It kind of went all over the place.
Yeah. Now, was he invited because of this MAGA hat situation?
Or was this
scheduled before the appearance?
I don't know if it was or wasn't.
I don't know.
But the last one wasn't long ago. The one with Kim was it 2 months ago?
Was he with?
Yeah. Yeah.
He went with?
Yeah.
But that was more her thing to free that person from jail.
Right.
Free that woman from jail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Stand up for what you believe in. I guess that's a noble thing. He's doing what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to base anything he says on my decisions in life.
You know, when they were on Celebrity Family Feud,
which I saw twice because they were rerunning it,
somebody did a Donald Trump joke, and everybody on his side of the board, it was the West family, Kanye West and his family, which was Kim Kardashian and a couple of other people, against the Kardashian family, not counting Kim. She was on the West side of the stage. But somebody did a Trump joke, and then they cut to them, the West side, and they were all enjoying it.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember seeing that part?
Did you watch it?
I watched half of it. But it was one of those things where I was paralyzed by it. Like, I'm watching it going, I hate myself for watching this, but I need to see what happens next.
Right?
And then at some point, I took my left hand and moved my right hand to the TV and moved it.
It's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny.
And even on the Kardashian side.
It was pretty funny.
There were only like two or three real family members. The last two were just family friends that they got to be on there with them. But aren't there like 100 Kardashians?
I would, yeah.
There's a ton of Kardashians. There's no shortage of Kardashians.
They're just the girls.
But there's five of them, right?
Well, Kim was with, no, there's Courtney. Are you counting
Kendall?
Well, they have
Kendall? The brother, too.
Yeah, the brother's
the brother
in there.
Was not on the Rob. Show, though.
Yeah, but it would have been better for the show to have the brother on than just a friend of the family who nobody's ever heard of.
He didn't want to do it, I would imagine.
I give him
it's
points for that.
Family and friends feud.
Right. Family and people that we barely know feud. That's not right. If I pay my money to see Celebrity Family Feud, I want the celebrities.
Yeah.
This is bogus.
I haven't heard that word since
I canceled my cable subscription right after that.
You did not.
I don't have cable anymore because of that. It's ridiculous. All right. Well, hopefully we can make this a weekly event where Kanye just shows up at the White House and he and Trump have a meeting.
It would definitely make it even more interesting than it already is.
Did Obama entertain a bunch of, and there I said Obama, I didn't say president. Did Obama entertain a lot of celebs at the White House?
I feel like if he did, it was
Oprah,
done in
maybe?
The background. You know, they went to state dinners. They performed at things, but it wasn't like you're here as our guest. Let's hear your platform.
Right. Although for some reason, I seem to remember didn't George Clooney from time to time stop by with some sort of an idea that he had?
Yeah.
I'd let Clooney in if he had an idea.
Yeah.
Were celebrities stopping by at like you know? Thomas Jefferson's place.
He had a guy who used to pretend he was John Williams show up. It's crazy.
And Roosevelt.
Yeah. Nobody knew who John Williams was. And he'd go, oh, trust me on this. I think you're going to like this. Funny. We'll do a Q&A at the end. All right. Kim, thank you for hanging out.
Thanks,
really
Kim.
Appreciate it. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
That is a very catchy jingle.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
I love that. Kanye West wrote that, Wendy. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's the author of the Cobblestone jingle. As it turns out, we are out of time. There is no more time left to entertain and enlighten, but we can try it again tomorrow. Tomorrow, from everything I hear, Wendy, it's the end of the week, the end of the work week, Friday.
I love Fridays.
Are you happy about this?
I always love Fridays, but you made me love it more.
Well, it's, you know, it's the best. It's the best of the days. So thank you so much for tuning in. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. I'm not sure who's on the show tomorrow. I know Alexander Zalbin will be by, and I think Chet Kopic.
Oh, Chester.
Is that true?
All
is
right.
True? Wendy Jeffrey Snyder.
Get me a peruse and be ready to roll.
Chet Kopic will be on with us at some point. Do we know what time, Jazz?
10:30.
Kopic time.
Kopic on sports.
Yes.
All right. He's got a new book out, and Chet's fun.
Yep.
So all right.
That
well,
tomorrow,
pretty exciting.
And more. And surprises.
You say that every day.
It's because I'm surprised. Every day I'm shocked. Every single day. That's it. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.